Out on the Limb with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV, your one stop for leading a happy, healthy, and successful life. Celebrating life and illuminating mind, heart, body, and soul.
Welcome, welcome. I am Dr. Nicola Bird. I am a psychotherapist and I am the founder of Self-Imaging Therapy. Thank you for being here with me today at Out on the Limb. We're here to celebrate life and to illuminate the mind, the heart, the body, and the soul. And we have an incredible show today. The theme is how the universe is wise and loving. And my special guest today will explore with us why this is so. My special guest is internationally syndicated sun sign columnist, author, television, media, and internet personality, Nadia Shah. Nadia is the author of Astrology Realized, Your Journey to Understanding Astrology, with a YouTube channel, Nadia Shah, that's S-H-A-H, which is consistently one of the top five most watched astrology channels on YouTube. So she's a YouTube star. Nadia is here to share strategies for being aligned with a universe that is wise, loving, and supportive. Nadia, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you so much, and thank you for sharing me with your audience. I'm so grateful for it. Thank you.
Well, we are grateful to have you, Nadia, because, you know, astrology has been dated to at least 2 million millennium BC, and it was used to predict seasonal shifts and to interpret celestial cycles, signs of divine communications, and it's based on the premise that there is a relationship between astronomical phenomena and events in the human world. And so many cultures have attached so much importance to astronomical events. And it was considered throughout history a scholarly tradition. And it was accepted in politics and academics. And then at the end of the 17th century, when the mechanical age came in, it became rejected by scientific community as pseudoscience. And why has such a historical part of human experience become so reduced and diminished? Why do you think that is?
Well, there are a few reasons for that, but mainly the main reason really comes down to what's called the Cartesian split. So what happened right around the time, in the late 18th century, right around the time that the planet Uranus was discovered, which is why Uranus is a symbol in astrology for science, among other things, also brilliance as well. But essentially what happened was that was when we started to, as humanity, started to make a distinction between mind and body. And so what that refers to is before the Cartesian split, when you went out into the world, if you walked around and you saw a flight of birds, it wasn't just, oh, look, there are some birds and they're doing this, and you weren't just thinking about what they're doing mechanically or their biological drive, but you would think, what does this mean? Because we understood ourselves as constantly communicating and interacting with everyone and everything, including our environment. So a flight of birds took on symbolic meaning. It wasn't just that it was a flight of birds. It had a larger meaning for us personally. And that's how we interacted with the world in a very integrated way. And then here comes along the Cartesian split, which says, no, spirit is one thing, body is another. Mind is one thing, matter is another. And that changed our relationship with what is physical. Now, there have been great things about this. So, I mean, I think a lot of people sometimes would say, oh, isn't that awful? Well, look, there have been some really great things about this. I really believe that, as I mentioned, Uranus is also a symbol of equality. Because once we were able to say, look, everything physical is not necessarily representative of something that's happening on a mental merit, spiritual merit level, we were then able to begin understanding how everyone is equal, everyone does have merit, and this allowed so many wonderful things that we enjoy now in our world more than ever, equality based on physical disabilities, based on race, based on gender. All of that was able to flourish because of this separation of mind and matter. But what has happened as a result is what's called the alienation of postmodernism, to quote Max Weber, And this has been very well explored by my former professor, Patrick Curry. But essentially what's happened is we have become alienated from each other and from our environment. So it became this thing where we threw the baby out with the bathwater. And now I think more than ever, as a response to feeling that disconnect and knowing that that's not how we're supposed to feel, more people than ever are understanding the value and reaching for and utilizing astrology in its highest understanding, which is ultimately to live a more conscious life.
Nadia, you said that so beautifully.
It's
beautiful. And I think it's so important because it's true. How alienated we have become, and when you're talking about being alienated from our environment, and we also become alienated from ourselves because you can't do one without the other because you start to disconnect, and then we have the travesty of isolation and alienation and loneliness in so much of our modern society, and so you really see like the whole resurgence of like trying to move back towards some kind of balanced state. And I think that's why there's so much, you know, people opening more and embracing more because we can't keep living that way because we're being destructive. You're right. I love when you said it has purpose and it's great. We need to bring back that balance. How do you feel astrology helps us come back to that balance?
Well, I think the balance begins and you begin to reconnect with that energy that allows you to remember that you are connected to everyone and everything when you pay attention and you listen to your life. That is really what it comes down to. It's about paying attention and listening. Sometimes we do that more willingly than others, right? And sometimes we do that with greater ease than at other times. It seems easier to grasp than others. But I do think that our environment is constantly trying to show us who we are, what we believe, how we can move towards greater love and greater wisdom as part of the mystery. Because I do believe some people call it love or wisdom. Some people call it God. Some people call it, you know, divine. I think that we are here, and the way I look at the sky is ultimately in the belief that we are here in our own way to further and further more fully embody that energy that we call love or God or divine or wisdom. And so when I look at the chart, that's what I'm looking at. When I look at difficulties in life or a difficult day, that's what I seek to find is, okay, how is this as part of the mystery helping this person or helping me to more fully embody that energy? Now, that's much easier at certain phases than others. But I think with astrology, it's essentially the same thing. It's essentially the same thing as you contemplating, okay, why do I keep finding myself in the same relationship? You know, or why is it that I have been in a job that I absolutely hate for the last, you know, year or month or 10 years? You know, these are ways in which the universe is seeking to inform us, to help us to move towards greater love and greater wisdom. And it's the same with the contemplation of the planets. It's the same thing. When we contemplate the planets, it is for the purpose of reminding us, yes, that we are integrated, but as we listen, we're able to understand ourselves more deeply and therefore move towards greater love and greater wisdom more consciously than we might otherwise. But, you know, as I like to say, the planets are there. They're always there, and your interpretation of them shows you who you are. And so if you are seeing things in your life that you don't like, if you are seeing interpretations in the sky that you don't like, then it's up to you to decide how you're going to reinterpret that to move yourself in a direction that resonates as right for you.
Again, Nadia, again, your words are so profound, and you take meaning to such a deep, intrinsic level, which I certainly respect, and I think is very beautiful. And it really highlights how many different ways, which I really support in this show and philosophically in life, that for us to find empowerment and to become more self-aware and to take a look at ourselves. And that process of self-awareness and understanding who we are and looking at ourselves and our experiences in a way for moving us towards greater love and enlightenment is truly the journey of life. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say in several lifetimes, in some cases, absolutely. I don't,
right. You
know, I think that we are now older souls than ever. You know, there was a time when we would need 100 lifetimes to understand what now we're able to understand in a matter of a few years. And we see this in the fact that we go through, I mean, there was a time when it would be unheard of to have more than one relationship in your life. But now in most of the world, it's quite normal to have more than one major relationship over the course of a lifetime. Same thing with a career. At one time, it was unheard of to have more than one career. You knew right out of, at 22, you knew you got a job and you stayed there until you were ready to retire. And that's pretty much unheard of now. That really doesn't happen anymore now. And I think that's because we're ready to live and we're now living sort of several lifetimes in one lifetime. But still, sometimes there are things that, you know, it takes, I know it sounds beautiful and it's lofty in some respects. And I think that because of that, we fail to recognize sometimes how we are in our pain, in our sadness, in our frustration, in our confusion, how that is actually moving us towards greater love and greater wisdom. But it is part of a journey of a lifetime. It's a journey of the soul that we are collectively and individually moving towards that is beyond time, that is beyond just a lifetime as well.
Beautifully said. I said that one thing that stands when you talk when you brought up the individually and collectively, and I think that's so important that you, because you're bringing back that whole philosophy of integrated living and consciousness, which I think we really need to, you know, create more balance in that integration. How does astrology help us do that, move towards that greatness and move towards that greater consciousness?
Well, astrology is based on an understanding that everything is connected and everything is a reflection of everything else. So there's an integrated understanding of our place in the world. I like to think of the planets as a mirror. They don't influence us. They don't have a preference. They don't say anything. All they are is a mirror. They're another way to look at our life and our lessons and our options and our opportunities. They're another way to open up our own minds to what could be possible for us. And so as such, I think that astrology, one of the most immediate ways it helps is with awareness, with consciousness. And especially if you're striving to live a more conscious life, if you're striving to evolve, right? If you want to move towards, as I like to say, greater love and greater wisdom, it can be more work at some times than others, and astrology certainly can help with that work. But I do think there's another level operating here, and, you know, this is for those who, because a lot of people are not necessarily thinking about consciousness, right? They're on a, their lessons are different in this lifetime, and that's fine, right? There's no problem with that. I mean, I know, because sometimes I have people who come to me for reading and they say to me, like, what is my purpose? How can I help myself evolve? So they're looking at the chart differently. And then sometimes I'll have somebody come to me and say, you know, when am I going to get married? What kind of job is he going to have? How much money is he going to have? What is he going to look like? You know, like, these are the types of things they're asking. And that's a different way to approach the chart, right? That's a different understanding of the approach, but the outcome is the same. What ultimately the outcome is that it is affirming a universe alive with meaning and purpose. And astrology is affirming that which is absolutely contrary to alienation. Astrology is, as again, as Patrick Curry, my dear former professor, said, It is about reanimating the universe with meaning and purpose. It gives us a place in the chaos, and it makes the chaos make sense. And that is something that is affirmed, you know, in those two lines in the back of a magazine that people so readily dismiss. You know, you go on a subway, you pick up one of those little newspapers, you read your horoscope, and you go, oh, that's interesting, or oh, that doesn't make sense for me. But people don't realize the philosophical assertion that's being made there. It is about saying that the universe has meaning and purpose for you in your life. And that is affirmed in a very powerful way and a very quiet way in the back of those magazines. And so a lot of it depends on how you're approaching astrology, but regardless, what it ultimately does is say that we are so much more than we could trick ourselves into thinking just based on our five sensory experience, that we're connected to something larger and to each other.
Nadia, I see why you are so popular on YouTube.
I see why you are so successful
because you, your work, your philosophy, your approach is so illuminated. It's so profound, and at the heart of it, just absolutely no judgment. Just non-judgmental for wherever we are in our life is where we are, and there's no one way towards our owning our truth, and it's owning, finding our own divine spark of light, or owning it, or being able to actualize it, which I hear beneath everything that you're saying. I think that that way of understanding that we're all here doing our own thing, expressing our own divine spark of light, is very, very powerful, and I think it's such an important thing, and it's so validating. It's so reinforcing of our everyone's right and beauty in existing and having and their particular existence. I loved so much. I'm trying to think which one? The mirror part. I loved when you said that it provides a mirror for us and it allows us to have that, because I think that's all of life. All of life is just always constantly a mirror for us to see ourselves. And that can be painful, it can be hard, or it can be illuminating, and that's the choice that we make for ourselves, what that mirror is. Because when we're mirroring our shadows, it's tough stuff. We don't like what we're seeing. That can't be me. So how does astrology help us when it's, you know, providing those mirrors to help us be able to face ourselves or confront ourselves in the same non-judgmental lens that you are presenting us today?
How can astrology help us to approach our own lives with greater non-judgment?
Yes.
I think that it really just comes down to us seeing the wisdom of exactly where we are right now, and that where we are has its purpose. You know, I have people say, and I know, look, I'm learning along with everybody else out there, right? I'm learning my lessons as well. And sometimes I'll even say, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. Well, of course it's the way it's supposed to be, because it is. It wouldn't be if it wasn't the way it's supposed to be. And, you know, I hear people say that sometimes. But then when we say that, we miss the opportunity to really contemplate and consider, okay, why is this the way it is? What is it? How is it helping me? You know, helping me move towards greater love and greater wisdom, helping me to fulfill my potential, helping me to be a better person, helping me to be more happy. Whatever the question is, in some way, wherever you are right now, is part of a larger move that your soul has, a soul drive to more fully embody that which we call love or the divine or God. You know, this idea actually comes from Ibn Arabi. So Ibn Arabi lived about 1,000 years ago, just under 1,000 years ago, and he was a Sufi mystic, a philosopher, an astrologer. And I actually wrote, I try to give him a shout out whenever I can, because I wrote my dissertation on him, my MA dissertation. So I feel like, you know, he helped me get my dissertation. And you can read that on my, you can read that on my website on NadiaShaw.com or theuniverseiswiseandloving.com. But I always try to give him a shout out because of how much his work has helped me personally, and therefore helped me to move my life in a positive direction. But anyways, he has this, as I said, he's an astrologer, he's a philosopher, and he had a lot of really amazing ways that he articulated this very idea now of moving towards greater love and greater wisdom. But he called it the magnificent breath. That was his phrasing. And basically what he said was that every ache, every longing, every joy, every elation, every yearning, every sadness, every disappointment, every success that your heart experiences is another way that God experiences itself, that in a way that it would not have had you not been there to experience that exact joy, elation, sadness, pleasure. And so what he understood was, what he called the magnificent breath, is he understood us as part of an energy that is actually growing, that is more fully coming to embody us individually and more fully coming to embody the entirety of the universe. And this to him was why we're here. Basically, we're here to more fully allow God to experience itself in new ways through us. And so, as I, you know, as this was very life-changing for me to come across these ideas, I've really come to understand that ultimately this is the sadness, the joy, the elation, the yearning. All of that actually is sacred. That's what he was saying. And all of that is part of us more fully embodying that magnificent breath, more fully embodying love and wisdom. And so one of the first things I would say, regardless of what where somebody is in their life, consider how is it that right now your life is helping you to more fully breathe God. That's essentially what he was saying, that we are the lungs of God. We are breathing God. How is it that your life is allowing you to do that? Because we're so quick to dismiss that which we call negative. We're so quick to dismiss those emotions that aren't, you know, absolute bliss. But they actually are part of the sacred as well. Now, this understanding of, you know, the sadness and the frustrations being part of the sacred, actually we can see a very immediate example in the Greek gods, right? So, for example, the Greeks, when they went through their life experience and something happened and they had a strong emotion, they said, wow, this is a really strong emotion. This must be a god. And so they had, their culture had gods for, like, sadness, for strife, for war, right? Their God wasn't just about peace and love and unity, but they recognized that the spectrum of the human experience is sacred, that it has a rulership connected to the divine. So I would just start there. I would say strive to see how it is that your experience is trying to illustrate that to you. And then bring that to the sky. Bring that same lens to the sky. If you're looking at your life and saying, how is this moving me towards greater love and greater wisdom? How could this be a good thing? Then maybe the sky will show you the same thing. If you bring that intention to the sky will reveal the same thing to you as well.
Nadia, beautiful. Again, so many profound, extreme profound things that I completely adhere to, that I practice, live my life by, and see as really creating enormous beauty, because it's all coming back to balance, and we're trying to move through the different parts, and the sacred is everything, and I completely adhere to that, because the sacred is everything, and sadness and all those aspects are part of life, that is part of what it is to be sacred. And it's finding balance, and in the balance there's harmony, and it's a continual expression of and your model of an integrated universe and an integrated God, and that whole interconnected is very beautiful, very profound, and I think that, you know, the more we move and embrace that kind of understanding is the more that we open our lives to exactly what you're saying, the wisdom and the love, because we stop being so compartmentalized and broken and fragmented. We are embracing integration within ourselves, integration in all of our experiences, and inviting love and wisdom in, which we cannot do or makes it much more difficult in the separation that we create in our minds between us and God, or us and the world, or us and other people. So your wisdom is profound. Your message is tremendous, and it really, really highlights how important us integration is in our life. Nadia, we're wrapping up, and I'm having the best time of my life with you, let me say.
You're amazing.
Enjoying you so much that I could talk to you all day long.
Oh.
And it's beautiful. Your message is beautiful. And I think one thing that I will say, and I mean, because to me, again, when you see something that's come through all of history and how it's been kind of ridiculed, and I know that's changing now, and voices like you and presences like you really help us to go, let's take a minute and look at this appropriate, you know, and from a different lens, away from that old deterministic worldview. You really give it's so much dignity that you present here, and I'm grateful for you to shed a different light when a lot of the dignity has been removed for something that is so beautiful, and your beauty shines. So thank you. We are wrapping up. I'd love you to just leave the listeners with a final takeaway. I mean, you have so much to offer, and so if you can wrap it up a little bit, we'd love that.
Sure. I guess I can say, if you go on my website, NadiaShaw.com or theuniverseiswiseandloving.com, you can actually download for free, or you can go on Amazon, download for free, the first chapter of my book. And the first chapter of my book actually talks about the historical and philosophical development of astrology. And so a lot of the things I've spoken about here today, because we kept it very much on the sort of philosophical level, a lot of these themes are actually talked about a lot more in that first chapter. And again, it's completely free. You can download it. You can read it online. I also just want to express my gratitude to you. Thank you so much for seeing me as some part of your vision today. Thank you for allowing me to live my purpose a little bit more today. I'm so grateful for that and for sharing me with your audience. Thank you. Thank you for this moment.
Well, the blessings definitely, unquestioned, go both ways. You've been a true blessing, incredibly enlightening, incredibly beautiful, and you can feel your light, you can feel your love, you can feel your energy, and your message is incredibly beautiful and empowering. Thank you for being here and sharing. So again, it's Nadia Shaw. You can find her link below. And it's S-H-A-H. Find her on YouTube. Amazing stuff. And absolutely subscribe and follow Nadia. Beautiful work. Thank you, Nadia.
Okay. Bye.
Okay, hon.
Thank you so
Have
much,
a great
Nicola.
Day. Thank
that
you.
Was so lovely. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Great show. Amazing insights. And we really appreciate Nadia sharing all her wisdom. This is Dr. Nicola Bird. To get more insights on how you can lead your best life possible, go to my website, www.thewellness-network.com. Join my mailing list. And remember that sometimes you do have to go out on a limb to achieve the happy, healthy, and successful life that you deserve. See you right here tomorrow for another insightful and entertaining segment of Out on the Limb.